Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is the morning run on BFM 89.9, the business station. 7:36 right now. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Brian Fernandez here in the studio with me. And on the line, we have Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York.
Good morning, Joe. Gary Cohn said that the Trump administration's proposed tax on offshore profits would be in the 10% range. Now, to unlock that $2.7 trillion offshore, what do you think your view is on the potential impact on the U.S. economy?
Well, hey, it'll take some time to see this play out. We're not, $2.7 trillion. Not all that money is going to come home, but some of that money has already come home through intercompany loans. But I do think the tax reform, bringing some cash home from overseas, if the government takes the money and creates an infrastructure bank because we need to spend some money on infrastructure, that'd be a positive. But in general, it'll take time to trickle down into new hiring, more share buybacks and dividends. But it's a positive whenever you let companies do what they want to do with their own cash.
Now, if they're repatriating all this cash, it's got to be coming from somewhere else. So what do you think the potential ramifications would be on the rest of the world, especially emerging markets?
Well, a lot of this cash is, sitting in the Cayman Islands and the Caribbean offshore money centers, Ireland, the Netherlands as well, Belgium. And so I think this, this is money. And by the way, a lot of it's already priced in dollars, so there won't be this big FX move. But so this money is... I don't think it's going to necessarily have a big move on the global markets as much as it will potentially driving more growth, more opportunities, and optimism in the U.S.
So then you think that this really has just more of a U.S. impact than anything else, just positive all around. Then how about the Trump tax plan? Now that markets have had time to digest this and all the details, what is your take on it overall for the U.S. economy?
Well, certainly you can see the optimism, particularly amongst small mid-cap stocks. I mean, small mid-cap companies, they pay a higher effective tax rate than the large multinationals because they do have cash overseas. So, yeah, I think what's happening with the tax debate, it's very important to understand. It's bolstering confidence amongst small mid-sized companies whereby they will start to hire, incrementally more. They might start to invest more in anticipation of lower corporate tax. And also remember, a lower corporate tax rate effectively, that's positive for earnings. That's going to tack on earnings growth and momentum into 2018. And that's one reason why the markets are hitting all-time high, because on the expectation of better-than-expected earnings, some of that being due to a cut in corporate tax rates.
Joe, moving on to Europe, Catalonia accounts for around 19% of Spain's GDP. So in addition to its importance to Spain, what is your view on the ramifications of the referendum on the euro as well as the eurozone as a whole?
Well, I mean, it's discouraging how it was handled, all things considered. But, it's not at all clear that you're going to see secession take place in Spain. I think it's a reminder, particularly to Brussels, that they have to be more attuned to the common person on the street, the workers, the folks needing income on pensions. Populism is still alive and well in Europe. We saw that in Germany, obviously, and obviously in Spain. So I think it's a warning shot across the bow for the Brussels bureaucrats to step it up and create more of a mechanism that distributes wealth to surplus countries like the Netherlands and Germany to the countries that need the cash, like Spain, Italy, and Greece, of course.
Now, moving on to Japan, the Bank of Japan's Tanken survey yesterday revealed that big manufacturers have more confidence in Japan's business conditions than they've had in a decade. Bank of Japan hopes that this sustained economic recovery will, of course, boost wages, household spending, and potentially help accelerate inflation towards its 2% target. Now, what's your take on the Japan growth story here?
I'm probably a little bit more cautious. I mean, I like Japan because of robotics. We've talked about that before. I was buying Japan to be very specific about industrials or robotic manufacturers. But give Japan some credit. I think second quarter growth annualized is around 4%. Half of that came from consumption. So I think, you know, the story out of Japan is good. You know, it's still a very large economy, third largest in the world, so they do matter. Everyone's focused on China, but Japan matters. So we'll see. What I worry about is, you know, the election uncertainty and then also, you know, raising the consumption tax at precisely the moment when the consumer and the economy is gaining strength. We've seen this before where they raise the consumption tax and then the economy rolls over for whatever reason. So it's a good story, but I'm not convinced it's, you know, firmly embedded, the growth story.
So are markets expecting an Abe victory on October 22nd?
I think they are. They're pricing it in. That's the expectation, although that's a long time from now, given where we are. And the opposition is gaining some strength here. So, I think, you know, the markets are expecting no surprise when it comes to the Japanese outcome. But there will be some headline risk. There'll be days when the market, I think, you know, there's more volatility as we get closer to the election.
Now, despite a pullback, oil prices are still trading in the 50-plus range, and some analysts are still talking up oil prices. So what have been the key reasons for the shift in expectations about the direction of oil prices?
I think the biggest reason, you know, there was what started in one variable was tighter U.S. inventories than people thought. That was pre the hurricanes, and we had a lot of production go offline for a little bit here with the hurricanes in Houston. And also the third component is just a bit stronger than expected global growth. I mean, we're expanding right now, the global economy, probably the fastest since 2010 because we saw a nice bounce coming out of the global recession. But, you know, the global economy, we're in the midst of one of the strongest expansions, synchronized expansion in decades, and that's creating a bit of earnings oil prices as well. So supply and demand, firmer prices. I'm not looking for 60, believe me. I think we're in that 50 to 55, or say 48 to 55 range.
Thanks for your insights, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist, U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management.
And we'll be back with a look at the tourism sector after this as Malaysia Airports increases its passenger traffic expectations. Details on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
7-Eleven has more drinks than times you've been caught singing in your car and random lyrics stored in your brain combined. Choose from Big Gulp flavors starting at 79 cents, like Fanta Orange, Minute Maid Fruit Punch, Powerade Mountain Berry Blast, Brisk Strawberry Melon Iced Tea, plus many more only at participating 7-Eleven stores. This summer, put on your favorite song and hit the road with a thirst-quenching Big Gulp drink starting at 79 cents today, plus taxes where applicable.